Greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, Yahshua, God's salvation, Yahushua. Yes, we greet you in that name that is, it is the name by which we are saved. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, sometimes when people say, oh, I found God. No, God finds us because we're the ones that were lost. He's never been lost. So we that kind of language use is a little bit misleading when people say, oh, I found God. No, He found you. You know, He came, He went through a huge effort to find you. And He paid an incredible price for your redemption. It required the blood of the Son of the Living God to pay the price necessary for the redemption of your soul. So you have incredible, immeasurable value. I mean, what would you say is the value of the blood of the Son of God? How much is that worth? Well, the only thing that is sufficient, that was used to pay the price for, was your soul and my soul. That was the requirement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So it required the blood of the Son of God for you and I to be redeemed. And His blood was sufficient to pay not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So there is no shortage, there is no insufficiency, there is no lack in Him. What is available in Him is an abundant life, not just to be alive. A lot of people just are sort of alive. But what's available in Christ Jesus is an abundant life, a full life, an overflowing life, a life filled with purpose and reason for being and meaning and existence and joy and peace and another way. You know, the more that I see and understand the world that we live in, the more that I understand how grateful in the core of my being I am that God created another way. There is another way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Jesus is that way. In fact, let me just flip there really quick. I was going to start with a different verse, but I'll go to John 14 and verse number, let's see here, John 14, verse number 6. Well, actually, yeah, verse number 6 says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. Powerful, 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 draws a line in the sand and says, look, you want the way? I'm it. You want the truth? I am it. If you want the life? I am it. And no one comes to the Father but by me. You want to talk about being exclusive. You want to talk about setting a standard. You want to talk about making a separation between who He is and who the world would like Him to be. You know, a lot of people in the world want to relate to Jesus, but they don't want the Jesus for who He really is. They want Jesus to be something else. They want Jesus to be something else so that they can make Him palatable, so that they can make Him user-friendly, so that they can make Him seeker-friendly, so that they can use Jesus to further a worldly agenda. But the problem you get is that Jesus is who He is. See, Jesus is not up for sale. Jesus is not something that can be molded into your image and into your likeness. He is who He is. He is the cornerstone. He is the rock. He is the foundation upon which the church of the living God is built. The revelation of who He is. The reality of who He is. So you can't get around that. That is why He is the stumbling block. Because a lot of people trip over that because they can't make Him be something else. They can't push Him around and make Him be something else. He is who He is. And part of who He is a way. The way, in fact. Not a way, the way. There's lots of ways out there. There's lots of ways that you can live. You can live all kinds of different ways. But there's consequences for the way in which you live. Jesus is the way. I.e., there's only one way that leads to the life. So if you want life, you're going to want Jesus. See, a lot of people think they want life. But in reality, their choice, they choose death. They choose the lie. They choose dependence. They choose on a world system that hates them, that's come to steal and to kill and to destroy and to use them. They're addicted to it. They do not want to be set free. They would rather hold on to their bondages. They would rather hold on to their lies. They would rather, because their deeds are evil. Because they like that pop that they get when they participate in the world. Because they can't stand the process of the path that God would put them on. They can't stand the reality of perhaps being alone or being shunned or maybe missing out on something that you think is important in life. The truth of the matter is that the true life is available in Christ Jesus, and you will never find life anywhere else but Him. You will never find truth anywhere else but Him. You will never find the way apart from Him. And He's the only way to the Father. So when people want to try to do it without Jesus, you're not going to find Him. You're going to find something else. You're going to find a whole other set of bondage, a whole other set of traps the enemy lays out for you to try to snare your soul. And people exchange one bondage for another. Let me give you an example. Okay, so say somebody is living in a very fast, a very immoral lifestyle that they know is killing them. And they know it's destroying them. They see the effects on their body. They see the effects on their relationships. They know that they don't want to continue down that line for indefinitely because they just see it. They know that it's just destroying them. So they want to break out. They want to be free from that. And there's a lot of demonic strongholds that have been set up in their life as a result of that. There's a lot of physical and physiological and psychological addictions that are all there. But they want to be free. Something inside of them says, okay, I want to exchange this. I want to get rid of this. I want to be something else. This is not who I want to be. This is not the person that I want to have kids and be. I don't want to be a family person like this. Or whatever. But something stirs in their life where they say, this path that I'm on is killing me. And what happens is they say, okay, I want to make a change. So they start looking around to see what they can do to try to change. And then they come across a bunch of different religions that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. So they look good on the surface and they say, well, you know, the people there, they seem to be nice and they seem to care a bit about me. They want to sort of hear about my story and they genuinely seem concerned. Okay, so let me go to try this. And they go and try something. And because it seems different than what they've known, they buy into that. But here's the catch. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him, but by me, says Jesus. So no one comes to the Father but by Jesus. And which Jesus? The true one, the real one, not the fake Jesus, not the materialistic Jesus, not the seeker-friendly Jesus, but the real one, the real truth, the truth. Unfiltered, uncensored, raw, real, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us and walked here on this earth, that Jesus. So when that person that now wants to break free from that set of bondage that they were in, living a fast and loose lifestyle, and they now want to try to get out of that, so they go and they join the particular religious organization. But that organization, that group, that sect, that cult, whatever it may be, without the real Jesus, they just trade one bondage for another. They change one set of slavery for another. And now they've got a whole new list of do's and don'ts. Now they've got a whole new set of practices and procedures and norms not to violate, and people not to question, and things that they cannot and that they can and cannot do. Personality cults. Look, here's the thing. What did even Peter, when he was dealing with this with the early church, he said, look, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Cephas? You know, they're just servants of the living God by which you heard the word. You know, one man plants, another man waters, but God causes it to grow. Because you know why? People were looking to try to make these guys more than what they were. And he said, look, keep the right perspective. We're just servants doing our duty, discharging our responsibilities in the roles that God has us to play in the body of Christ. That's it. Don't make us more than what we are. Don't elevate us. Because you know why? You need to keep your eyes on Christ, not on a person. And I know in the flesh it's easier to put your eyes on a person because that person's there. There's the physical embodiment of that person. But the thing is, that person is never Jesus. That person's not Christ. And if they are a true servant of the living God, they will be pointing you towards Christ because they want you to fix your eyes on Him, because they know that if you keep your eyes on Him, you'll have what you need to walk this life out. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, Jesus offers you life and abundant life. And, you know, the sad thing that happens is so often is people trade one form of death for another. One form of bondage for another. One trap of the devil for another. And the end result is emptiness in their soul, a vexation in their spirit, an agony, knowing that there's more, but not having it, not receiving it. See, this is why we do what we do the way that we do here. All right? We publish here on faithmix.com as God would lead us, as God would guide us. We put it out there. Look, freely we receive, freely we give. We put it out there. There's some of you out there, God bless you. You've wanted to support this and to help us take this further. And what you've done has helped us take this further. And we thank God for you. And we know that God is blessing you incredibly as a result of you seeing and understanding and responding. But our hope, our will, our desire for you that's listening in is that you would have the abundant life that God intended for you. That you would have what you need. And God has done this way with us at such a time as this because, why? Because in this situation, the setup itself is intended to just give you at least whatever God will give us to give you to help point you in that direction so that you can be free for yourself. And that is not dependent on any person. Look, we encourage one another in the things of the Lord. We one joint supply at the need of another. We pour everything out as God would give it to us to give. But you got to take it. You've got to actualize it. You've got to move in that truth. The process of bearing fruit. You know, I mean, God has called us to bear fruit. And there's certain things that He does, and there's certain things that we do in that process. All right, here, let's look at this. All right. I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell onto good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecies of Elias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Okay. So the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. Okay, not money. Okay, I've heard some people teach this, and they have taught it based on the carnality of their own despised and wrong hearts. Jesus explain this parable just so that people wouldn't go and screw it up. The sower soweth the word. And God sows the word, and He showed what happens with that word when it goes forth. And look, the enemy works very hard to make sure that you don't understand this. That you don't understand the word when it's put out. Because as long as you don't understand it, you can't apply it. And as long as you don't apply it, that benefit is kept from you. See, if you apply the truth, you get the benefit of the application of truth. If you apply the lie, you get the consequence of applying the lie. That's why so many people's lives are bankrupt. That's why so many people's lives are morally destroyed. That's why so many people's thought lives are a mess. It's because they've not understood the truth, and they've fallen for the lie. They've gone forth in the lie, and they've reaped the corruption that comes from the lie. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. That is God's purpose in coming into this world, is so that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. The thief's purpose in the world is that he could steal and kill and destroy. So, depending on the life that you want to have, make your decision. Make your choice. Look, you can choose the lie if you want to. But don't complain when you get the consequence for the lie. Don't complain when your life is destroyed by the lie. In Proverbs it says, a man's ways destroys his own life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. A man's ways will destroy his own life, yet he'll get mad at God. How many people's ways have destroyed their own lives, and they've turned around and they said, God, why did you do this to me? I would say to you, why did you do that to yourself? Look, a healthy dose of what's reality is good. A healthy dose of what's true is good. Look, if the path of freedom is a path of truth, and it will sting, it will hurt, yes. It's gonna hurt, but it's a good hurt. Because once you come into the light, and once that's there and it shines bright and you embrace it and you let no darkness dwell in you, there's freedom there. And whatever's come before, you can be set free from it. You can begin on a path of truth. Or you can make another choice, and you can choose to justify the lie. You can choose to embrace the lie, to hold on to the lie, and then the result is you receive the consequence of the lie. You know, very conveniently, the enemy always works to shuffle people off the stage whenever the consequences are now being doled out. He'll put people on the stage when they are participating in the lie. But when they reap what they sow, because the wages of sin is death, he'll conveniently move them off the stage and put somebody else up there so you don't see the consequence. Because if you saw the consequence for the choices that people make when they choose Satan and the world system, it would horrify you. You would run. You would run the other way. I mean, you already see the emptiness. You already see the frivolous nature of it. But if you saw the true consequences of it, and if you had anything left in you, a conscience that hadn't been completely seared, you would drop to your knees and you would repent, just like the people of Nineveh did when Jonah came through. They repented. They called out to God. Look, the process of bearing fruit. I'll just put this out there for you. Okay, here's one. I'll take you through it quickly. You got to hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to hear the word. Put it up there. Let it resonate in the air. Let it fill your soul. Let it fill your spirit. You need to hear the word. Put it out there. As you persist, as you look, as just even now, as you're listening to this, this is the word is coming forth. You're hearing it. You're hearing the word. As you look, play it. Play the scriptures. Hear the word. Read it, but hear it. Then, next, you got to understand it. See, the truth is veiled from the worlders. They don't understand it. Even if they hear it, hearing, they do not hear. Seeing, they do not see. They don't understand. They don't comprehend. Because that is a work of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God encrypts it so that they cannot understand. They don't get this. This is something that comes from God. He's the one that gives an understanding heart. It's a gift of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That's where the source is. So if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. You got to ask Him. That's what they did in that place. They went to Jesus. Lord Jesus, why are you speaking in parables? What does this parable mean? They wanted to understand. And where did they go to understand? They went to God. And God clarified it for them. He showed them what it meant. You got to understand it. You got to have an honest and a good heart. Again, this is a work of God in you. As you yield to Him, as you pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. As you yield yourself to His work, and God takes your heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh, as God takes you from the place of corruption to a place of sanctification, as God does a work inside your heart and replaces that wicked heart and gives you a heart that is good and honest and has a direction and a volition towards Him, you're in the process of bearing fruit. Having heard the word and received it. Oh, here we go. You got to receive it. You got to embrace it. You got to take it into yourself. You have to receive the word. A lot of people reject the word because it's not convenient for them. A lot of people reject the word because it doesn't work with their agenda. But when you know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, when you know that He is it, when you know that He is the truth, then you receive it because you also know that He is the life. And He is the way to the Father. There's no other way. So you receive it because you know the source. You receive it. You embrace it. And you keep it. That's the next one. You got to keep it. That's obedience. That's receiving it and actualizing it in your life. You don't just hear this, but you put it into practice. You find the way to put it into practice in your own life. And then you bring forth fruit with patience. That means you keep it and you keep on keeping it. That's why we say keep on keeping on. You keep on keeping it. You keep on keeping it with patience. And then you do that part. God does that part in you. And then you bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. That's the byproduct of it. The byproduct of embracing the truth of the Word, of who Christ Jesus is you end up bringing forth His character, His nature, His righteousness comes forth in you. That is the process of bearing fruit unto life. Fruit is the character and the nature of the living God in you as you walk around in this world that needs truth, that needs to know the way, that needs to know that there is life, and that needs to know that there is only one way to the Father, and that is Christ Jesus. So with that, hey, so here, so quick recap on this last part. Hear the word, understand it. You have an honest and a good heart. You, having heard the word, you receive it. You keep it, and you bring forth fruit with patience. You persist. If you persist, you press through. You press through, and you overcome. And in Jesus' name, we bless you. You know what? God is so good. God is so good to you. God is so good to me. He loves us. He loves you. His Spirit is upon you. He is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh right now. In the time that we live in, this day, this age, this is it. Receive. Receive it. Embrace it. Move forward in what God has for you. And know that we're out there and we're blessing you in Jesus' name. We encourage you. Keep on keeping on. Drop us a mail. Say hi. We always love to hear from you guys. And yeah, we love you. We'll talk to you sometime soon. All right. God bless you. Bye.